Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Joey Royal shares something of his ministries to date with an introduction to the work of the Christian Embassy in Ottawa. And now, here is Bruce Royal introducing his son, Joey.
I'm going to ask Bruce to introduce our guest speaker this morning. He has some knowledge of him, I understand.
A little bit, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I'd like to introduce to you Joey, my son, and then former Anglican priest, bishop of the Arctic Diocese, and had been for many years. But he answered a call. There's a verse in First, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so, God, in his sovereignty, in his divine wisdom, he moves people about in the places at the right time, at the right place, for his purpose, that it might be accomplished. Amen. The kingdom of God might grow. So Joey has joined the International Ministry of Power to Change. He serves as International Relations and Operations Manager of a Christian embassy in Canada, located in Ottawa. Power to Change is a family of ministries such as Athletes in Action, Mothers That Care, the Jesus Movie, and the Christian Embassy of Canada located in Ottawa. All of these have one common purpose: to make Jesus known across Canada and throughout the world. We'd like to welcome Joey on behalf of BFA and look forward to hearing how Christian Embassies in Canada is making Jesus known, particularly in Ottawa. So, welcome, Joey.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes?
Oh, very good. Thank you, Dad, for that. Thank you, worship team. Let me just get myself situated here. First thing I want to say to you is thank you. thank you for, first of all, thank you for having me here. So big thanks for the elders for making that happen. I'm grateful. But in a broader way, thank you that this church has been like a home away from home for us for the last, I don't know, decade, couple decades, especially the last decade when we were up in the north. So I consider you all friends in Christ and think of you with great warmth and affection. So I'm very, very grateful. Thank you. Now, where did I put my my little controller here? Where did that go? Am I supposed to have that? It sure is. There we go. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a new ministry I'm part of, a little bit about how I got there. But I hope our story is not, because we're Christians, our story is not just about me or my family. I think you'll see overlaps there with your own life and relationship with Christ. So here, we have this screen up for all our events. I'm going to tell you a lot about Christian Embassy, so just hold tight. But we have these, any event we do, we have this screen up with all these languages saying welcome. The first service, we talked a lot about heaven and about hope. And when I look at this, I think heaven will be full of all kinds of languages. So languages won't go away. Cultures won't go away. Lack of understanding will go away. That's the Pentecost miracle, is that you keep languages and cultures intact, but you understand each other in Christ. That's the Pentecost miracle. All right, so as a way of kind of anchoring us this morning, I want to look at John 15. Phil opened with John 14 this morning, and I thought that was a happy divine coincidence. So here's John 15, 1 to 8. You can turn there if you want, but I'll just read it off here. Here we go. Here's Jesus speaking, John 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do a little bit. No, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All right, so it's an egg. Uses agricultural imagery a fair bit. And the image is a vine, branches that come off the vine that depend on it for sustenance, right? And fruit that springs off of branches. Now, the key spiritual point Jesus is making here is that he is the true vine. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel is often called the vine. But Jesus is saying, well, I'm that now for all time. I'm the true vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me just back it up here. I think every time I read that, I think, does he mean that? Like, does Jesus mean apart from him we can do nothing? Yeah, he means it. At least he means it in the sense that apart from him we can do nothing spiritually impactful. You can go brush your teeth and have breakfast, but you can't do anything spiritually impactful apart from Christ, apart from being plugged in to the vine as a branch, okay? We Christians are branches, and our primary task is to stay intimately connected with the vine, like one with Jesus. Paul uses different language to say the same thing. He says we're in Christ, or Dad read the body, you know, he's the head. So these are all kind of ways of talking about staying very closely connected with Jesus and anything good spiritually coming out of that connection. So fruit in this image, fruit is results that come from our actions. And good results, good fruit, good spiritual results only come from God. Only come from God. So the imperative here is that we as Christians focus not primarily on the fruit we're bringing about. That's God's responsibility. Because in this image, God the gardener is in the background, doing the pruning, doing the cutting, making sure the fruit's maximized. Our job is to make sure we're linked in. We don't create that link, but we do preserve it, maintain it, right? With Christ. So a few implications from this. We're in Christ. That's Paul's language. Stay connected. Make your home. King James Bible says abide with Christ. Make your home with Jesus. There's no better home. Make your home with Jesus. How do you do that? Well, nothing. Surprising, probably. You pray. You respond to God's word. You read scripture. You worship. You fellowship with fellow Christians. You take the Lord's Supper. You love one another. How you stay connected in the vine. These are all Jesus things. Right? Good fruit comes only from God. Now, I want to say something about this. God wants maximum fruit production. God is interested in big harvests of fruit. Not little piddly berries. Like big ones. And to do that, he'll cut off and he'll prune. Why does Jesus talk about cut off here? I sometimes trip over that a bit. But I think what Jesus is doing primarily is trying to explain to his disciples, and that's us as well, about people like Judas. How do you explain people that come into close proximity to Jesus but don't truly know him? You know, Scripture talks about that in other ways. But cut off. Permanent cut off? No, I don't think permanent cutoff. I think repentance is always possible. We got to hold out for that. But this is all part of the pruning. Now, pruning is sort of taking the dead, not useful parts off a branch. And that sometimes experientially may feel a bit like being cut off. Being pruned can be painful. So I guess what I'll say is this, then I'm going to jump into some biographical stuff. If you love Jesus, you want to be with him more than anything, and your life is hard, or you're experiencing some struggles, consider this. God may be pruning you in this season. Why? So there's a big harvest of fruit. Don't waste your pain. So that's pruning. That's the image. This passage has become something of a life verse for me. Well, it's not a verse, it's a passage, but a collection of life verses. But it's about you too. This is about every Christian. This image is describing your life, the reality of your life, the reality of mine. I'm going to share a little bit what this passage has looked like in my life and the life of my family. And I want to think of John 15 as like a lens. This is how I think of it. It's a lens to understand the sorts of experiences I've had. So I encourage you to think of that too. Use this as a lens. This is a lens, okay? You can see different things now. You can see better. Make John 15 a lens so you can see your own life better from God's perspective. Some of you might probably know this. I grew up in Northern Ontario, but a lot of my adult life I've been in Northern Canada. Jen and I went, what year was that, 2005 or six? Six. We went for 2 months to the north. We left a few months ago, after two decades. So, just a warning, if you think you're going to go to the Northern Canada for 2 months, you'll probably be there for a couple decades. That happened to us. But that ended up being a pretty happy thing, actually. A challenging thing, but a happy thing. So, Yellowknife, has anyone here been north of the 60th parallel? People related to me don't count, but you guys have? Okay, yeah. Yeah, people related to me don't count. No points there. But you guys have? Okay, yeah. Yellowknife is a little bit like, I tell people it reminds me a little bit of a smaller Sudbury almost. It's a mining town, but there's a lot of government and different kinds of business there. This was, for me, a place of pruning. It was where Ben was born. It was where God called me to full-time ministry. And it was a hard place for me in many ways, but a fruitful place. See? Painful but fruitful. I'm trying to hold these together in my own life. Painful things are fruitful often. So there we are in Yellowknife. And then 2012, Ben was born. I got called to full-time ministry. And we thought, we're going to be here forever. Ben's going to graduate high school here. We're going to be here forever. This is our home. 3 years later, the Lord called us to go 2,200 and something kilometers east to Iqaluit. Iqaluit. Anybody ever been to Iqaluit here? You've been, Ted? Cool. Yeah. On the way to where? Where? The mine up near Arctic Bay. Very good. Okay. Iqaluit, it's an Inuktitut word. This is an Inuit area, an indigenous area. Most people there are Inuit. It's pronounced Iqaluit, but just call it Iqaluit. It means lots of fish. Okay? It's a fly-in only community, about 8,000 people, but multicultural, so you'll find people from all over the world there. Just a little interesting little tidbit here historically. The first Protestant, so not Catholic, communion service was held over here somewhere on a ship in the water. Barton Frobisher was an explorer, English explorer, and his chaplain, they would often travel with ministers for chaplains, was a guy named, Martin Wolfall. He did communion on the ship. That's the first non-Roman Catholic Protestant communion service in North America. So here we are. We go to Iqaluit. We actually lived in a place called Apex, which is just about a bit outside of Iqaluit. That's where Ben grew up. Ben would run around, and we called him in for supper. And that was his life. I don't want to mislead you. This is what it looks like, actually. It's you get like 1 month of no snow, and then this. But, boy, the beauty of God's creation. Whew. Like, I would drive down. You had to drive down to get to our little area of Iqaluit. You drove down this long, kind of windy road, and I felt every time, we were there 7 years, every time I drove that, I thought, I am driving into a National Geographic spread here. This is unbelievable. Sunrise, sunset, mountains. It was unbelievable. So God has made a beautiful world, and you can see that is you, Ben, isn't it? That's Ben and his little friend. That's cute. I didn't even notice that when I put it up. Okay, so a little bit about the north, our time there. It was painful but fruitful. That's what it was. It's a whole different culture. If you're going to go to Nunavut, this is what I tell people. You're going to use Canadian money, but it's going to feel like a different country. Different culture. You got to wear big furry hoods. There we are. There are a lot of blizzards. I mean, you guys know everything about snow. I don't need to talk about snow. But food. Benjamin's eating fish eggs there out of the belly of a char, I think. He's a brave in a culinary sense. Brave in other senses, too, but he'll try anything at least once. This is one of my students here. I'll tell you a little bit about why we were there. We're cutting up Arctic char. Anybody ever had Arctic char? Oh, isn't that good? It's great. So-so? Okay, well, agree to disagree. It's kind of like salmon, a bit like salmon. Yeah, so, but Inuit eat it raw. Inuit used to be called Eskimo, which is now not something they want to be called, but it meant raw eater. Meant people who eat raw meat, because they do. But now they're Inuit, which just means people. We're the people in this land. Okay. Just a few other things. One of my students took this picture of the bear. Polar bears are plentiful. I think he had a big lens, he said, so he wasn't beside it. But his wife had a high-powered rifle there beside him in case the bear got a little cranky. I said, does it sometimes happen, the bear gets cranky? Oh, yeah. And then you got some meat and some fur. You're all good. Inuit are very tied. Indigenous people in Canada are often very tied to the land. So hunting, there's rhythms of hunting and fishing and camping and so on. That's our little house there, anyway. A rite of passage for young Inuit boys especially is hunting. So this boy here is maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, shot a big seal. Seal hunting's big there. These little pieces down here, that's whale meat. You eat that raw, it's called muktuk. Tastes pretty good. Anybody ever tried muktuk? Right on. Not bad? You liked it? No go. Oh, man, Joe. I guess I better not give you my gift of muktuk I brought for you then. Yeah. There's Jen and Ben. That little jacket there is called a Mautie. You put Inuit women put babies in them. He's got a big hood. I don't think Ben would fit in there now. I don't think, but he's about one there, and then there we go. You'll see, this leads to something else here. You see this woman here singing. She's got tattoos. I think now, actually, she has tattoos in her face. Inuit, this is not just Inuit. This is Indigenous people in Canada. There's been a huge loss of culture and language for a lot of Indigenous people. So there's a strong attempt to regain that, to maintain it, to protect it, to preserve it. I'd say in this region that Iqaluit is in, it's called the South Baffin region, that's been pretty successful for the most part, although younger people are speaking English, but there's a lot of Inuktitut. Our church services, most were in Inuktitut. That's the local language. So there's a real attempt to protect it. Now there's tension there too, because the church, as much as it by using the Inuktitut language, as much as it preserves a lot of the language and culture, younger people in communities, younger Inuit, they don't speak it. And so you know these competing goods: preserve language and culture, connect with young people. I have opinions, but I won't say them here. But I think they're both important. But the gospel is of ultimate importance. Okay? So those who are really forward-thinking on this are finding ways to do both. Preserve, protect, but the gospel above all. I keep pressing the computer here. Where did I put my ring? Okay. All right. So just show you a few more pictures, then I'll sort of move on from this. But we went on a camping trip out in the land. Somebody asked me, why is there a glass of wine on the cooler? Because we're doing communion out on the land, out in the Baffin region. There we go. A little bit about language. There is a complete Inuktitut Bible. It was finished in 2012. It took about 40 years. It was done by mostly these two men. And this is Andrew Atagotaluk and Jonas Alalu. And Jonas right now is in his late 70s. He's like a monk. Every day he goes up to this church, goes up to the office, and now he's working on a revision, second edition of the Inuktitut Bible. And it's really widely used. For instance, I was over not long before we left. I was over at a neighbor's house. I can't remember why. They weren't churchgoers. I don't know what their faith is, but I never saw them in church. They had a Bible, an Inuktitut Bible, on their coffee table. And I see this constantly. So, you know how Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah, says God's word won't return to me void? It's not just a book. This is a living thing. This is the power of God. And so when you put it out there in the language of people, the power of God does stuff. The scripture does stuff. Scripture is, Hebrews, it's like a double-edged sword. Does stuff. And we've seen that. So lots of fruit from that. Just a bit more here. Stop signs and all that. Different languages, different cultures. But the point I'm making in all this is we got called to Iqaluit, to a completely different culture, different language, different way of life. And it was a massive adjustment for us. And there was pain involved. There was pruning involved. But there was fruit. Thanks be to God. Why did we go? I didn't tell you why we went. Here's why we went. My job was to, not mine. We're a team. Jen and I are a team. Our role was to reopen this Theologus Bible College that had been opened opened in 1970 in a little community called Pangertung, which is sort of northeast of Iqaluit. And it closed because the Arctic weather beat the building up too much, which happens. Which happens in the Arctic. And my job was go to Iqaluit, you and your family, and open a Bible college. Okay. Jen and I, we said, well, we talked about this when we first met, and I guess God's calling us to do this. Let's go do it. Didn't have a clue what we were doing. I still don't know how this happened. I went to different people in the government, people in the church. I went all over. I got doors closed. No, 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 can't help you. Sorry, no, no, no. I came home one day. And we were supposed to have this thing open in the fall, September. This is 2016. This is like March. I came home to Jen. I said, you know what? We made a mistake. We should never have come here. I don't know what was happening here where we misunderstood the Lord, but here we are. And this is failing. This is going to fail. It's not happening. And Jen said, think about what you're saying. Always a good advice. And she said, why would the Lord call us this far and abandon us? And it was very shortly after that I got a meeting with the Minister of Education in Nunavut, who later became the premier. Sat down with him, a little bit apprehensive, and I explained I wanted to open this Bible college to train Inuit people to minister in their own communities, to their own people, in their own language. And he said, he thought for a bit, this is a man named Paul Kwasa was his name, very strong hunter, but a smart, smart man, and a godly man, Christian. He sat back, he thought, oh yeah, he said, you know, when I was a young man in 1970, I almost went there. But he said, God called me into politics, but I'd love to see it open again. What do you need? I said, oh, what do I need? I need funding for all my students. I need flights paid for all these students. I need housing for all these students. He said, oh, okay. Let me make a few phone calls. It happened. It happened. Government, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Like, you can't, the kingdom of God is not directed or engineered or manipulated by human beings. It's steered in the direction God wants it to go. And so I just tried to stay close to the Lord, and he gave lots of fruit. And it happened. Thanks be to God. These are some of the students. We're in Israel there, hoisting the Nunavut flag. Worship, learning together in a classroom. We served at a soup kitchen in the community. God just gave so much fruit, and I often think of that verse in Ephesians about God granting more than we can ask or imagine. More than you can ask, more than you can imagine, God gives. And he did. There they are. There's the first cohort. So, thanks be to God. That was fruitful. I had another role in the diocese. Dad mentioned I was a bishop, which is an overseer, and I had different communities I had to travel to. So I did travel. I traveled to places like Arviat, or Akviat as it's called, youngest place per capita in Canada. I get to the airport, and there are all kids running around. I thought, are there any adults in this community, or is it all kids? What a spiritual harvest, though. My goodness. Like, that's Akviat. Pond Inlet, I went to the High Arctic in the mountains. This is the Sunday school in the church. here's what I discovered as I traveled. People were hungry. So like in Arviat, they said, I was there 2 weeks. They said, can you stay and teach the Bible every night for 2 weeks? Okay. Here. There are a lot of people that want training. They want to serve their communities. They want to serve the church. We can't travel to Iqaluit. We have families. We have whatever. Any way you could bring the Bible college to us. And so during the last year of my time in the Arctic, that's what we did. We had the Bible college in Iqaluit. Then we opened 4 more hubs. And yeah, and so in the Arthur Turner Training School in 2025 has over 40 students, 5 hubs, and 4 instructors. Amen. Yeah, and this is, hey, keep in mind who this guy is. This is the guy that said we made a mistake. We misunderstood the Lord. We didn't. The Lord grants the fruit. Our job is to stay connected. That's it. That's all there is. Stay connected. The Lord will grant the fruit. okay, so what I saw in the last years in the Arctic was that fruit. I don't want to minimize, people in the north have a lot of pain in their lives. So we saw a lot of things. So there's reasons, there's always reasons that you think humanly to give up hope, right? But look past it. Because as we were reminded this morning at the early service, there is a hope waiting for us, secure, present circumstances, you know, it can't even compare, says Paul, it can't even compare to the weight of glory. Okay, so in the midst of the difficulty, the challenge, God raised up all these people. All these people. People who would want to serve their communities. Fruit. God-given fruit. Okay? And it was after that the Lord said to us, I took a sabbatical last summer. I hired a clergy coach, which I didn't know was a thing. I heard this guy on a podcast. He supports ministers, full-time people in full-time ministry. So I called him, or I emailed him, I think. So we processed stuff together, searched the Lord, sought the Lord together. Anyway, the Lord released us from the north really quick. I was here last summer. We were living in Yellowknife at the time. We had moved back to Yellowknife. By November, we were in Ottawa. So I want to take the rest of my time here to tell you what the Lord has called us to coming up. Now, we're gonna go to the present here. So the Lord called my family and I to Ottawa and to a new ministry called the Christian Embassy of Canada. Never, I didn't know that existed. Maybe you don't either. Here's how I found it. I knew the time was coming to leave the north. I said, Lord, I think you're still wanting me to do full-time ministry. But if you just want me to, you know, work here or there, that's fine. I'll do that. But if you want me in full-time ministry, you're going to have to lead me because I. So then I checked a Christian job, like a job board. That's all I did. And Christian Embassy popped up, and I thought, oh, could that? Prayed on it, did the interview process, and got real clarity that the Lord was calling us. And I won't get into it here, some of the personal stuff, but there were lots of reasons the Lord was leading us to Ottawa. I will tell you one thing. I have a good friend in the congregation that I was serving in Yellowknife. Who, can I tell this, Jen? Maybe I should ask you about the housing, about the probably should ask you before, but anyway. I have a good friend in the congregation. He's Ugandan background. He said, I had this dream lately. Make whatever you want about the dream. I don't know, but he said, you were given a gift, and Jen came in the room and saw it and. Had tears in her eyes. It was like Sarah when she was told in her elder years that she would have a child. I thought, okay. In October, everything was set to go to Ottawa. We were convinced the Lord was calling us. We had no place to live. So Jen was on the phone just catching up with an old friend of ours who has a condo in Ottawa, and who you came in the room with tears in your eyes. And her cousin had been renting it, just left, middle of October, and said, oh, if you want to take it, it's free. Not free, sorry, we're paying for it. But, I mean, it's open. The point is, the Lord, you stay with the Lord, he supplies your needs. This is experientially true. Doesn't mean there's no anxiety or anything, but you stay with the Lord, he'll supply your needs. This is the way it's worked. Anyway, I want to tell you about Christian Embassy. So we got there in November. I've been working with Christian Embassy. I'm going to tell you about this ministry. It's in Ottawa. The mission of Christian Embassy of Canada, the mission is to inspire leaders with the person and values of Jesus. You know, Scripture exhorts us, and I'll read this from Timothy, this is Paul, exhorts us to not forget political leaders. Don't forget them. Here, I'll read this. This is 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. Paul writing here, I exhort, first of all, you make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everyone, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Scripture is full of exhortations like this, but also full of instances of God's people, doors open for God's people to speak to people in political positions. And sometimes that opens up all sorts of new fruit. God is sovereign over the world, which means political leaders, whether they know the Lord or not, they answer to Him. They have to. We all do. We're creatures of God. Many don't know Him, and so there is a sense in which politicians and diplomats and people in this world are sort of an unreached people group. They're very isolated in many ways. So I think of myself, maybe oddly, might seem odd to say this, but as a missionary to people that are often unreached. And these are politicians in Ottawa. So, more about Christian Embassy and the specifics about what we do. I cannot get used to this thing. We're part of Power to Change Ministries. Power to Change is a Canadian branch of what's called CRU, which used to be called Campus Crusade. It's a big Christian ministry, a big charity in the U.S. and Canada, actually around the world, but very prominent in U.S. and Canada. What I like about Power to Change, this is our umbrella ministry, it's very strategic in the sorts of gospel interventions they're doing in society. So Dad mentioned athletes in action. So we're going to get people in the athletic world, right? Students. We've got student ministry. We've got family and marriages. We've got leaders of various kinds. We've got humanitarian aid. We've got digital ministries. We've got government. That's us doing the government stuff. We've got vulnerable people in various situations. And public spaces. Is a drama, a gospel drama. So you can see that the Power to Change is trying to get the gospel into key cultural places. You see what I mean? For the purpose of people coming to Christ. Christian Embassy has been around for 40 years. God's faithfulness. A few key dates here about Christian Embassy. First one, 1975, was founded in Washington, D.C. Our Canadian branch was founded in 1984. 2011, we began ESL classes for diplomats and their families. We're still doing that. And you know what the textbook is for ESL? You might have heard of it. And Muslims and everybody. They just want to learn English. In 2012, there was the recognition that God was raising up people in different countries, and we came to see that there's actually emerged a network of Christian embassies around the world. That is, people who are there to minister, do gospel ministry to politicians and to diplomats. So here are the Christian embassies around the world. Addis Ababa, that's in Ethiopia, and it's a strategic location in the African continent. Bern, Geneva, London, Manila, New Delhi, New York. Geneva and New York are UN, United Nations. Ottawa, Paris, Pretoria, South Africa, and Washington D.C. And so we just had a gathering online on Zoom with all these different people. And it was such an encouragement to see that there's gospel witness happening in all these locations very strategically. We take, at Christian Embassy Canada, we take a multifaceted, strategic approach to our work. And I'm coming to a close here. Here's some of the things we do to reach people in these spheres for gospel ministry. Anytime there's a new MP, a new senator, a new ambassador, or a new high commissioner, we have a courtesy visit with them. We will go introduce ourselves, pray with them, give them a Bible, and make sure they know who we are. Okay? Sometimes that falls flat. Sometimes good, great, fruitful relationships come out of that. Never know. And sometimes we got to be persistent 3-4 times to get an appointment with somebody, but we persist. High commissioners, by the way, are ambassadors from Commonwealth countries. An ambassador is the head diplomat in a embassy. Okay, so we go do visits with them. We distribute always everything we do. We got a really good partnership with Canadian Bible Society. We're distributing Christian materials and Bibles in all different languages. We host our own events to serve these communities. And we attend events in embassies and on Parliament Hill to build relationships. And why do all this? It's the gospel. That's it. To evangelize unbelievers, to encourage believers. We're nonpartisan. We're not trying to prop up any particular political party. We want to be there for the conservatives, the liberals, the bloc, the NDP, the Greens, whatever. And then with the diplomatic community, we want to be there for every nation. So we're non-denominational. We're evangelical Christians. And we're not connected with any party. And that's intentional because the gospel is number one. Now, you know, we all have our opinions on this and that, but that doesn't affect our ministry. Nonpartisan, non-denominational. Above all, we try to stay connected to the vine. Whenever we go in to meet with somebody, we pray, Lord, give the fruit, take the lead, guide us. And the Lord does. Just very quickly go through this. Here's a few examples of some of the events. These are some of our events that we will hold roundtable discussions on different topics that are of interest. We sometimes will do business tours for ambassadors from, especially more from less affluent countries. Get them to meet Christian business owners. We do networking dinners and luncheons, invite all these groups of people, and we have international delegations where we will sometimes take MPs, senators, diplomats to a different country to meet there. And all of that, we're trying to connect them with Christians. This is, right? On one level, we're doing a service for them. We're helping them network and all that. The deeper reason is always gospel-based. That's why we do this, right? Okay. Here's just a few things here. A member of parliament, confidentiality is really important. So we want to make sure we're careful around some of that. But here's a member of parliament talking about Christian Embassy. Christian Embassy provides me and other MPs with a needed personal focus and an outlet to serve. Their team helps me make connections with ambassadors as part of my government service. They also offer opportunities for me to grow in my relationship with God as I reach out to encourage leaders in Ottawa and overseas. I doubt the Christian Embassy is aware of the full extent of their positive impact. That's an MP. Here's an ambassador to Canada. I think every ambassador and high commissioner should connect with the Christian Embassy. I have found their team to be very helpful to my work as an ambassador for networking because of the many people they know. With their help, I also better understand the Bible. Okay. And I'm coming to a close. I'm going to land it. Ready? I'm going to land this thing. There are unique opportunities right now for Christian cultural witness. It is a time of political division, high and rising. You know this. People are anxious about what's going on in the world. They're uncertain. What is happening? Okay? Secularism. Secularism says the world is essentially godless, and if you want to be a Christian, you can do it in your own time as a hobby. But the Lord Jesus claims every square inch of this world. It's his. So secularism is not even a thing. Not even a real thing. But it's an imagined thing that has quite a hold on our culture. Can't provide meaning. People are adrift spiritually in this culture. They're adrift. Young people, older people, they're adrift. The influence of Christianity is declining in the West, but rising in the global South. Even in the West, there are renewed signs of Christian spiritual awakening and openness to the gospel. So there are signs in Canada, U.S., England, Europe, that there's signs of opening, but it's still the energy, the momentum is in the global South. And we see this as we meet with diplomats. Gospel has a lot to say about what's happening in the world and offers the only satisfying and lasting answers for the problems we face. I won't labor over this too long, but you can sort of see that the blue countries are the ones that consider religion not very important to their lives. The orange countries are the ones that consider religion very important to their lives. You see a pattern here? So as we're kind of in an interesting situation with this ministry. We're ministering to Canadians on one hand, who live amid that secular vacuum, and also people internationally who maybe come from countries where they're much more comfortable talking about religion, things like that. Canadians, so just very briefly here, this is the Canadians. 44% say religion is hurtful to society. 45% say religion encourages intolerance. 54% say religion encourages superstitious thinking. And 64% say religion has a less important role compared to 20 years ago. But here's why this is an opportunity. Because most people haven't heard the gospel. They haven't heard that God's word, Christ's message presented in such a way that it sounds like good news. They haven't heard that. Let me give you an example. I was, after an event we did, I was talking to a diplomat from Eastern Europe. He said he's an atheist. I said, okay. He said, but my wife's an evangelical Christian. I said, okay. good luck with that atheism. Anyway, and he said, my wife invited me out to an Alpha course. He said, I said, how was that? He said, well, he said, I finished it. So I got to say, can't say I believe this, but I can see why people think it's good news. That's one foot in. You can see, you get people to see why the gospel's good news. That's inching towards the Lord, right? That's moving towards the Lord. All right. Prayer request. How can you support Christian Embassy? You can do it in a few ways. So I know Louis was here last Sunday, spoke about the youth center. What a great ministry. Oh my goodness. I listened to it online. We have a very almost identical funding model. In other words, we in Christian Embassy, everybody in Power to Change, relies on generosity of people. Generosity of people. Christians. To fund this ministry. So there's three different ways. If the Lord, and I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm saying this. I'm in the vine, you're in the vine. You just ask the vine if the vine wants you to support this. That's all. That's the ask. Does the Lord want you to support this? You can do it in a few ways. One, financially. Two, prayer. Three, connect me with someone I don't know. Just ask the Lord. That's all. Just ask the Lord. and pray that the Lord would lead the people, that we could be a voice for Christian faith, hope, and love amid political division, anxiety, conflict, and other crises. And that, you know this verse from the Psalms, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth, Psalm 72, verse 8. That's written on the Peace Tower on Parliament Hill. Some of you know that. Wouldn't that be something? I'm not going to promise you any fruit. Fruit's the Lord's. Here's what I'm going to promise you. I'm going to stay with the vine. I'm going to stay with the vine. And we'll see what fruit the Lord brings. We have a booth. This is the last thing I will say. There's a booth out there. I'm here all week. I would love to talk with you more about this ministry. Talk to me. Talk to Jen. she'll be out there. Probably I'll be out there a bit too. And thank you from my heart. I'm grateful. Thank you. Is it 12:15? Good night. Someone's got to cut me off here at some point. Oh, your clock changed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joey. That was a real blessing for us as a congregation. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you do have that hold on us. And we thank you for the vine who gives us life. May we stay connected to him. May we abide in him. And we thank you for the fruit that you've been producing through that connection. Thank you for Joey's ministry and for the life that he and his family have shared with us today. We ask your blessing on their path and their life. And we pray that you would lead and direct us as we continue to maintain our connection to you. Help us to stay fast and hold well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.